there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thanks for joining us again here on Radio Tyneside, and welcome to all our listeners, especially those in our local hospitals. Our theme today is to do with answering difficult questions, but we're also touching upon how we speak to one another. My grandson recently asked me, "If God made us, who made God?" Now, it's not easy to answer questions like that to an adult, never mind a child who's only five. It's one of those classic questions, such as, "Where does the universe end?" But I wonder how you might have answered his question. This leads us nicely into our first hymn, which was written by William Chalmers Smith, who visualised God as immortal, invisible. "God only wise, in light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes." This hymn comes to us from Halifax Minster. As a former schoolteacher, I recall an RE lesson where I invited the children to draw sketches of how they pictured God in their minds. One drew a hefty policeman, one an old bearded man sitting on a cloud, another a large light bulb. But the one that caught my attention was one drawn by a pupil who'd put his pencil down within seconds with a satisfied look on his face while the others beavered away. I was curious, so I walked across to him and looked over his shoulder, and I broke into a smile when I saw that he'd drawn a huge red question mark. Brilliant. He demonstrated, whether he realised it or not, that God is a mystery. A mystery will not solve this side of heaven. What about our next hymn? Let's listen to a simple chorus of praise now. It's very repetitive, and generally that does irritate some folk, but many of these choruses serve to focus our minds on God and enable us to stay in the moment. This is one that does that for me. It's by Michael Smith, and it's called "Our God is an Awesome God."
Awesome God.
also those in today's world who ask challenging questions concerning belief, not necessarily to obtain an answer, but to catch someone out, to make fun of them, or impress those who might be listening with their superior minds. Listen to an example of this in today's Bible reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 20. I'm reading from verse 27. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. "Teacher," they said, "Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her. And in the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her?" Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive." Let's listen to Ferdinand Ortega sing, "I Will Praise Him Still."
When the morning falls on the farthest hill, I will sing his name, I will praise him still. When dark trials come and my heart is filled with the weight of doubt, I will praise him still. Praise him still. When dark trials come and my heart is filled with the weight of doubt, I will praise him.
Quite often, I can set certain biblical characters against cartoon characters and see a likeness in their attitude or behaviour. It's getting to be a really bad habit of mine. Last week, I likened Zacchaeus to King Louis the Great Ape in Jungle Book, who'd reached the top and had to stop because something was missing in his life. Today, it's the turn of the crows, the ones who mocked Dumbo the baby elephant when Timothy the mouse, his friend, said that Dumbo had the ability to fly. The crows all gathered round quietly to mock and have a bit of a laugh, singing, "But I be done seen about everything when I see an elephant fly." But this is what's happening in today's Bible reading too. A group of wealthy aristocrats, the ruling class of the day known as the Sadducees, had gathered round Jesus to pose a question, a very strange question designed to poke fun at Jesus. They as a group didn't believe in the resurrection, but here they raise it as a subject, linking it to marriage. They ask which of a widow's husbands will actually be married to her in the resurrection life, seeing that she'd married all seven of them. But you see, Jesus believed in the resurrection, even though they didn't. Not much longer after this conversation, Jesus was raised to life after his death, and very soon afterwards returned to heaven to be with his Father. He was well qualified to speak about the truth of the resurrection and life beyond. How did Dumbo prove he could fly? Yes, he flew. The crows weren't laughing then. Let's listen to Rise and Run singing Up From the Grave.
Oh, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? And oh, church, come stand in the light. Our God is not dead, he's alive, he's alive. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Death cannot keep its grave. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars.
Adrian Plass, a well-known Christian speaker and comedian, once described Jesus as an expert in the art of judo, for he often took devious verbal attacks from people such as the Sadducees and the Pharisees and gently deflected them, using their force to his advantage. Jesus' answer to their question puts the Sadducees firmly in their place. He begins, "Those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead." His implication here is that they themselves might not be worthy enough to qualify for the eternal life they didn't believe in. These mockers, with their proud and haughty ways, their cynicism and mockery, were possibly being warned to change their ways. Then Jesus continues by saying that they, that is, those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. So ceremony and custom will be out, and these resurrected bodies will be changed and glorious in appearance. And I would imagine recognisable. A visiting speaker was once visiting a church and was given a lift by the local vicar. "Whatever you do, don't preach to them about hell and being saved," the vicar said as they drove along. So the speaker began his sermon in church by quoting to the congregation John 3:17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him..." Turning to the vicar, he asked, "Shall I go on?" The vicar quietly nodded. So the speaker continued, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, it's wonderful to think that in coming to believe in God's only Son, Jesus, we can live a brand new life and be reconciled to God forever. Hence we have the word atonement, at one with God forever. This next hymn has the line, "Full atonement, can it be?" It's called "Man of Sorrows," with words by Philip Bliss. Thinking back to Jesus' encounter with the Sadducees in that reading, would that we all knew how to respond to the cynics and critics of our day with wisdom like his. There's division in so many countries throughout our world today, so much negativity, scorn and ridicule in our media and in entertainment. We have disrespectful displays in Parliament. We even hear top politicians calling each other liars. And it's quite tragic that many young people today are so deeply affected by negative accusations on social media. According to surveys, many are stigmatised, resulting in low self-esteem, in mental health problems, and a lack of self-confidence. How hard it must be for victims to keep on being strong. When harmful language is being spoken, it ought to be challenged, just like Jesus challenged these cynics. And if the language we ever use puts people down, making them feel worthless, then we need to reflect on ways of changing the tone and the content of what we say. We may even want to make amends in our living years, put right words spoken in the heat of the moment, or even things we've done wrong. Here's Mike and the Mechanics singing Living Years.
Every generation blames the one before, and all of their frustrations come beating on your door. I know that I'm a prisoner to all my father held so dear. I know that I'm a hostage to all his hopes and fears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. Oh, crumpled bits of paper filled with imperfect thoughts, still to conversations. I'm afraid that's all we've got. You say you just don't see it. He says it's perfect sense. You just can't get agreement in this present tense. We all talk a different language, talking in defense.
Say it loud.
Say it loud.
Let us pray today for the courage to speak positive words of encouragement and give support and befriend others and help them see that life is good and worth living. Our final hymn, Lord for the Years, contains these beautiful words. Lord, for ourselves, in living power, remake us. Self on the cross and Christ upon the throne. Past put behind us. For the future, take us. Lord of our lives, to live for Christ alone. May this be our prayer today. Please join us at the same time, same place, next week. Here is Michael Bourne's Lord for the Years to finish. Bye for now.